And again, I don't have a text verse, so I'm not trying to sum it all up in one verse. I'm just going to tell you what we're looking at tonight. We're going to be looking at parents and children. There's no way I can get it all done in a week. No way. So tonight, I'm just looking at one aspect. I would have, my way of thinking, I would have opened up starting with the positive side of things and then would have covered the negative side of things. But the Lord, what's been put on my mind has been more of the discipline. And so tonight we're going to be looking at the discipline of children. Now I want to turn to several places in the Scriptures, so go ahead and break out your flipping fingers. We're going to be flipping all through the Scriptures. I don't think there's going to be anything that I tell you tonight that you don't already know. I don't really look that we're covering anything controversial. Everything we cover, you've already heard. You've been taught all your life. But I want to bring it out to you again in the Scriptures, not only that you would know it, but also that you would know where to go find it. In case there's any discussion with anybody, you know. Effective discipline for the little ones. Now, mind you, what I'm talking about primarily, when I'm talking about children, I'm talking about 13, give or take, and under. By the time that a boy or a girl turns about 13, somewhere around in that range, and they go into the teenage years, everything's different. If everything's not established before that point, you're not really raising them at that point. If you don't have it established before then, all you're doing is trying to keep the fire under control until it moves out of your house. If it moves out of your house. I mean, you really, these things, and I'm serious about these things, that I teach you, I'm not trying to call on my own experience. Y'all know I don't have kids. All I'm trying to do is show you what the Bible says. You're going to have to work on the application. It's up to you to apply this. I'm just going to try to teach you what principles are in the Scriptures, and you'll have to apply it. If you don't have kids at home, then you're like me. You can sit back and just, yeah, you can try to encourage everybody else. And I mean, we do. We do try to encourage everybody. Now, there are things that those of us without kids can do, and we'll talk about that too. A lot of what we can do, stay out of the way. I mean that. A lot of what we can do is stay out of the way. If a parent is correcting their child, just turn around and walk away. It's what I find to be best, because I'm not there to try to... First off, I'm not trying to embarrass the child. I'm not trying to embarrass the parent. And I'm not trying to interrupt it because the parent's doing what they're supposed to do. So if you don't have kids and somebody's trying to correct their kid, just get out of the way and let them. Is one of the things. And so, but we'll talk about discipline. The first thing I would say is that discipline needs to be quick. And I'll give you the verse for this in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Now let me tell you what I mean by quick. I mean on the spot, if at all possible. I realize it's not always possible to correct the child on the spot. My mother played piano at church. There were times when she looked up from the piano and saw us and looked over at us. We called it giving us the evil eye, but she looked over at us, and we knew we were in for it when we got home. She couldn't just get up from the piano. Well, she could have got up from the piano and went back and got us on the spot, but it wasn't the practical way to do it. So I know that it's not always practical, but as much as is possible, correction needs to happen quickly. On the spot. We talk about how that puppies have to be trained and housebroke on the spot as soon as they mess up. So do people. When your child does something wrong, the correction needs to be immediate. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, this principle is really brought out here. It says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." In other words, because things don't get corrected on the spot, people think, well, it's no big deal. I can just keep getting away with it. Your kids think that way too. And so that principle is there, that correction needs to happen quickly, on the spot. And to that end, I would say have it established in your heart that when your child goes against what you've told them, that you're going to correct them. Does that make sense? I don't say do it in anger, but I do say do it quickly. Now look, if you've got this thing already settled in your heart, you won't have to do it in anger. You're just doing it because you've already settled this. There's no question in your mind. You've already settled that whenever your child disobeys you, that you're going to correct it on the spot. And it won't have to be something that you think about, worry about, get mad about, get frustrated about. You'll just simply do it because you've settled that question. There should be little or no delay. And also, I would point this out too. Correction is not explanation. Okay, explaining to a child why what they did is wrong comes after correction. Catch that. If you have to explain everything before you correct, then by the time you explain it and the child says, okay, now I understand, it makes it a little difficult to carry out the correction, doesn't it? And I'll tell you something else it does, and this I've watched. The older they get, the more that they'll become a pretty good lawyer. And pretty soon, you'll find yourself explaining why the same thing is wrong three times in a row when you should have just whipped the child right off the bat. Disobedience is not always from a lack of understanding, people. Correct it first, then you can explain if you want to. I didn't say you had to, but correction comes first and comes quickly. Now, a lot of things I'm telling you won't go with a child psychology degree. But it'll go with what the Bible says. And so, that was the first thing. Correction should happen quickly. The second thing is, correction is physical and verbal. I want you to get that. It is physical. Corporal punishment is in the Bible. You know what that is? That's getting whipped. That's getting a whipping. That is the method of correction that the Bible calls out. Not a method, but it's the method that the Bible calls out. I'm going to turn to several places in Proverbs. Proverbs 22 is going to come first. And again, I realize this won't go with your child psychology degree at all. And you won't get a credit for this class. As a matter of fact, if you quote me in your child psychology class, you're sure to get plenty of discussion from your professor. But this is what the Bible says. Proverbs 22 and 15. It says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Again, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. When the child is born, I don't care if they're a boy or a girl or how sweet their mama or daddy was. It don't matter. When a child is born, they already know how to say no. They already know how to disobey. And if you don't believe it, have you ever seen any baby anywhere in the world that didn't know how to play the drop game? Y'all know what we're talking about. Have you ever seen any baby that didn't know how to pitch a fit? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So the rod of correction, physical correction, will cause that child to go away from foolishness. It drives foolishness away from the child. I know all of y'all smiling and laughing and everything, but y'all, this is what the Bible says. And we're in a world where the world says, put them in a timeout corner, and says, take the TV away from them for a day and a half. Y'all go a whole lot longer than a day and a half. But y'all, taking things away is not the punishment the Bible calls out. The rod of correction is what it calls out. I'll let you argue with God on that. I'm just telling you what He said. It says Proverbs 29:15. We're going to look there. Proverbs 29:15. Now this one's very important. And I don't even have it circled, and I ought to. I think I will. Because there's two big things in this one. Proverbs 29:15. Says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom." You understand what you're doing when you're correcting your child with a belt? You're giving them wisdom. Or with a little hickory switch, that's a pretty good rod. You're giving them wisdom. But now look, it says the rod and reproof. And reproof. What's reproof? What do you do? How do you reprove your child? How many of y'all have ever seen some mother say, "What did I tell you about that?" If that accompanies correction, that's reproof. In other words, the child gets corrected and they get reminded of why they were corrected. Did y'all know that was scriptural when you did that, mothers? The rod and reproof, it says, give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, here's the first place where it comes in and tells parents, if you won't do this, if you're gonna disobey me in correcting your children, your kids will shame you. And that's just as scriptural as using a rod. And so now I want to show you that besides the fact that correction is quick, remember we said that? And we just said it's physical and verbal. That's what it says right here. The rod and reproof. That's physical and verbal. Not one or the other, but both. The next thing we go is that it is required. Physical correction of your children is required. Proverbs chapter 13 and 24. Proverbs chapter 13 and 24. A well-known verse, or at least it was when I was growing up. My mother and all my aunts knew it. And knew it well. And you ought to know it. Chapter 13, 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Often misquoted. It says, spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not what it says. It says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That means if you will not physically correct your children, you hate them. If you will not physically correct your children, you hate them. All right. Who here has ever been physically corrected by their parents? I don't care how old you are. Okay. That's because they loved you. That's because they loved you. Betimes just means as often as you need to. That's all I can tell you. Betimes means whenever needed. There's a story told of a mother that had a hickory switch on her hearth, and a sign right there next to it says, I need thee every hour. And if you need to, you use it however often you need to. That's what betimes means. All right. Also, Proverbs 23, I'm going to read two verses here. I'm giving you these verses for your benefit. I'm giving them to you so that you'll have them handy if you want to study over them. That's why I'm not trying to spend a long time on one and try to preach this. I believe you know this. I'm trying to give you reinforcements to the things you already know. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Withhold not. You catch this. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. It says, go ahead and beat him. And that's what it says, doesn't it? It says, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. There's an important concept in that. They're learning something from you when you correct them. They're learning the fear of God. You're literally putting the fear of God into them. If they will not learn correction, how can you tell them about a God who will correct them? If they've lived all their life and never been corrected. But if they've understood what it's like to be corrected and quick, then when you start talking about the Lord who will indeed correct them, who will punish sins, they understand. And that's what it's telling. And remember, what I'm covering right now is the fact that correcting your children is required of you. It's required. And all of you in here who are teenagers, you're closer to being a parent than you are to ever being 10 years old again. You're never going to be 10 years old again. But one day you might be a parent. And so learn this for you too. You will be required to correct your children. And by the way, if you're living at home, I don't see any age limit on this. I'm just telling you. Foolishness abounds in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So it's required. Also in chapter 19, verse 18. Chapter 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son. How many of y'all know what chasten means? That's a whipping again. That means to correct him, physically correct him. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. So the Bible expects that they're going to cry. And it says, you know what it says? It says, so what? That's what it says. It says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. It says, give to them what they need. Now look, it's not talking about crippling your children, and it's not talking about the kind of beating that would be abuse. But it is talking about correction. It says it has to be done. It's a requirement. And that's what I'm covering. We covered that it's got to be quick. It's supposed to be physical and verbal. It is required. In Hebrews 12 and 7, let me see what I know what it says, but I want to get this right. Hebrews 12 and 7. He speaks now, it's talking about I'll go 12, I'll go 6 and 7. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, that's talking about us in the spiritual. Now it says that every one of us who are children of God, the Lord chastens. See, if we don't learn this as children, then how are we supposed to understand this when later on we come up, we get saved, and we start serving God? It says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? In other words, chastening is an expectation. And by the way, fathers, it's not something that you always delegate to the mother. I don't say that the mother can't correct the child, but you don't just have to hand that to the mother and walk out. It's your responsibility to make sure the house is well ordered. Now then, I want to go to Proverbs 29. I'm going to cover a different point. We said it needs to be quick, it needs to be physical and verbal, and it is required. The next point is that it is profitable. All right, chastisement is profitable to that child. Proverbs 29 and 17. I've got to get back there myself. Proverbs. Y'all beat me to it this time. Proverbs 29 and 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. It's profitable. If you will correct your children, there's a principle in here that your children will end up honoring you. That's what it means by give thee rest. It's talking about, well, you know what the best retirement plan there is in the Bible? Is having children that will turn around and honor you. And that's what it says. Also, you'll find in Proverbs chapter 10, in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. We'll go back to that wisdom that you taught the children in correcting them, and the foolishness that you were driving out of them. This is going to matter later. You can spoil the children now when they're two or three, and you can handle it. But when they turn, by the time they're six, you can't handle it. By the time they're 13, you certainly can't. You know why there's such a rash of teenagers killing parents and grandparents across America? It's because they weren't corrected when they were little. And that's why. In Proverbs 17, there's a couple of verses I want to cover. I'm covering right now that it's profitable. I'm not going to try to keep you here forever, but I've got to get this to you. Proverbs 17 and verse 21. He that begetteth a fool does it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Again, if you will not drive the foolishness from the child when they're little, it will absolutely be heaviness to you later. In verse 25 of the same chapter, 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. And so it's very, very important that the child be well disciplined. I'm almost done with what I've got to cover. And again, I'm not trying to stop and preach these points. I'm just trying to bring them to you. We said that discipline has to be quick, has to be both physical and verbal. It is required, and we said it is profitable. Now, the next thing I'm going to cover is that discipline needs to be sufficient. We're going to turn to Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. I almost quoted this for a text verse. You've often heard it. I'm going to explain a little bit about it. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That word nurture means a little bit more than you might think. It means them up in the training, the teaching, and the discipline. I had to look it up to make sure of it. And discipline. They need to be well ordered and structured in what they learn. Not just turned loose to be to raise themselves out there on the free range. They don't learn what to do by surviving the first 10 or 20 years, but rather they're to be taught and to be trained. And that's what nurture means. Admonition speaks of the fear of the Lord. Okay. But now you notice that's balanced with provoke not your children to wrath. So there is a such thing as too much, and there is a such thing as not enough. So the discipline of a child should be sufficient. You say, "You're not telling me anything, brother." Well, you've got to have some judgment here. I guess that's where I'm going. You've got to have some discernment. Do you need to whip a 6-month-old child as hard as you would a 10-year-old child? Well, I would certainly hope not. So you do have some discernment, right? I'll put it to you this way. You need to be able to get their attention. You need to be able to get their attention. That takes less with the little ones and more with the big ones. That makes sense? I can't tell you exactly how much it's going to take because there's something else that comes in too. Personalities come in. And children have different personalities. And you each have different personalities. And some of you need to go cool down before you correct your kids, and some of you need to do it on the spot or else you talk yourself out of it. All right? So you're going to have some discernment, and I can't do this for you. And if you're concerned about how much discernment you have, that's all right. I commend you for being concerned about it. But you're going to have to get that from the Lord, and you're going to have to get that through prayer. There is a such thing as too much. Provoke not your children to wrath. But there's also such thing as not enough. That's the thing I can't stand here and teach you. You've got to ask the Lord for help. You do have to get their attention. You can start young, and by the way, you should start young. But again, it doesn't take much more than just a tap on a little bitty one. By the time they start getting a little bigger, it takes more than a little tap. And making a noise on the diaper won't do it. And you know it. Some of y'all have already been through all of that. There comes a time it has to be a little more. And as they get older, a little more. But you'll have to discern that. The last thing I've got for you. We said it needs to be quick. It needs to be physical and verbal. It is required. It is profitable. It needs to be sufficient. And the last thing I have in the book of Revelations is that it needs to be consistent. Consistent. I'm going to read this verse to you in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. And then we're going to hit this one last point and then we'll close it down. It says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Now, the Lord here was talking to a church. I'm just looking at the first part of that verse where he said, "As many as I love," he says, I rebuke and chasten." That's all of them. That means it's the same from one to another. And if you have multiple children, consistency may be difficult to do because your kids have different personalities, but it's important. Now, even with just one child or with the same child, consistency is still important. Remember that you're teaching boundaries. Boundaries. What you're teaching is that life has limits. If you go beyond limits, there are consequences of going beyond limits. It's what you're teaching. This is the way they know that it's not a good idea to break the law. This is the way that they know it's not a good idea to do life-threatening things. This is the way they know that it's not a good idea to go against what God said. It's because they've learned all their life that there's boundaries. And going beyond boundaries has consequences. Whether you jump the fence and run over the boundary or whether you just push against the boundary. And by the way, kids are excellent at pushing boundaries. So are you. And if you can ever learn how to teach a kid not to push boundaries, you've really done something. You've done well. But you can work at that. But it takes consistency. Because what happens is that child will do the same thing that you'll do spiritually with God. They'll go up first and just touch the boundary or get close to it and lean over it and lean back and touch it and stick a foot over. And if you allow it, the next thing you know, you'll get them one time for crossing the boundary and you won't get them the next time for crossing the boundary. And then they're going to get mad and they're going to get confused and you have lost the lesson. So you have to be consistent. Sometimes it's going to drive you nuts because you're correcting the kid for little bitty infractions and you'll wonder, what, am I some kind of little Hitler here? Well, it's going to drive you nuts sometimes, but you have to be consistent. You have to be consistent. And maybe what you're breaking isn't that one problem, but you're breaking something in that child. You're breaking that rebellion in that child. And it might take a while. It might take 13 years. It might take 18 years. And so it might be a long-term project. But what you're doing is the Lord's work. Because the Lord has left that child with you. Now, He knew your personality, and He knew that child's personality, and He gave you that child. And so, all I can tell you is get to work. I tell you, I'm sorry for you. Actually, I'm not. You've got a treasure on your hands. But you've got work to do for that treasure. And that discipline has to be consistent, whatever you do. By the way, fathers, you set the rules in your house. You know that. But mothers, at the same time, you have some rule-setting authority too. You're to guide the home. So mothers and fathers have to work together on this then, don't they? That consistency needs to go between mother and father as well. If you've got mama or daddy, either one says it's okay, and one says it's okay, and one says it's not okay, you've got a problem. You'll need to be together on this. Well, I'm about done. I don't think I've gave you anything new, but I tried to give you some scriptures to help you on the things that you already know. And I want to encourage you that regardless of what this world teaches, God knows what He's talking about. And so, these things that you've been taught and these things that we covered in scriptures, you'll need wisdom to apply it, but the application's yours. And by the way, those of you that are in here that I brought up fresh and painful memories, I'm just glad your parents love you. We'll close out there and we're going to go into a business meeting. And so, Brother Ronald, if you will close us out in a word of prayer.